1. Grow old along with me. Foreword. Now that you've brought the book home with you, let me present the first item, my novella, Grow Old Along With Me. On May 26, 1947, the editor of Startling Stories asked me to write a 40,000-word novella for the magazine. At the time, I had been selling to science fiction magazines for nearly 9 years, and had already handled the length. 2 years before, I had written The Mule for Astounding Science Fiction, and that had been 50,000 words long. Startling was asking, specifically, for an astounding-type story, so it seemed to me that it would be a piece of cake. It took me all summer to write it, however, because I was also working on my Ph.D. research at the time. I finished it on September 22, 1947. It ended substantially longer than had been requested, 49,000 words, but that didn't bother me. Since the magazines pay by the word, that just meant additional money. The title of the novella I took from the first line of Robert Browning's Rabbi Ben Ezra, which is a paean to old age. That gave the title an ironic significance in view of the plot of the story. I was only 27 at the time, and I was still able to view the matter of old age with detachment. But then, to my astonishment and rage, Startling, having held on to the story for 3 weeks, rejected it. I was humiliated, for I hadn't had a rejection in 5 years. To get one now from a second-rate magazine, after I had spent a whole summer on it, and after receiving their approval when I had, at their request, let them see sections of it as I wrote, seemed more than I could bear. I am routinely disappointed when I get rejections, and I get some even now, but I can bear them philosophically. This was the one and only time I was enraged. I tried the story at Astounding, and it was rejected again. There was some hope that a small semi-professional publishing house, which was being established for the publication of science fiction novels, might do it for next to no money, but even that fell through. It was the worst literary fiasco of my life till then, and the wonder is that I didn't throw the damned manuscript away. Fortunately, this was a decade before I had bought the house with the barbecue pit in the backyard, or I would surely have burned it. As it was, the apartment I then lived in didn't have a barbecue pit in the living room, so I just put the manuscript in a drawer and tried to forget about it. In 1949, however, Doubleday and Company was planning to start a hardcover science fiction line, the first by any general publisher. My friend, the science fiction writer Frederick Pohl, had learned of this, so he came to me and suggested I show Doubleday Grow Old Along With Me. I strongly demurred, because I was in no mind to suffer new humiliation over this turkey I had written, but Fred was most persuasive, and I said I would think about it. On March 11, 1949, I decided that it would be unprofessional of me to decide on behalf of an editor that a story was unsuitable. I therefore walked over to Fred Pohl's apartment. In those days, I was too impecunious to take a taxi, and too naive to think of making a phone call to check if he were home. Naturally, he wasn't home, and his 8-year-old stepdaughter, who was alone in the house, answered the bell. In those days, 8-year-old children were not yet firmly indoctrinated never to open the door to casual callers. You must understand that ordinarily I treat my manuscripts as though they were diamond-studded. I always bring them into a publishing house and place them directly into editorial hands when I can. When the publishers are out of town, I am forced to mail the manuscripts, but I always call up in a reasonable time to make sure they have arrived. This time, though, so little did I care for Grow Old Along With Me that I indifferently handed the manuscript to the child at the door with instructions to give it to her father. And then, a little to my astonishment, Walter L. Bradbury, the editor at Doubleday, liked the novella and said that if I would expand it to 70,000 words or so, Doubleday would publish it. What's more, he paid me $150 just for agreeing to do it, and promised me another $350 once the task was finished. Thereafter, of course, the book might earn royalties in addition. I was staggered by this munificence and by the vision of Oriental splendor for the future. It took me 6.5 weeks to do the revision and extension of the book, and I was through on May 20th, 1949. Doubleday accepted it, but asked for a new title. I was only too ready to drop the old one, which I associated only with misery and embarrassment, and I suggested Pebble in the Sky. Pebble in the Sky was published on January 19th, 1950. It was the very first book of what has amounted now to over 330 altogether, of which fully 100 have been published by Doubleday. Even after this, I retained a carbon of the original Grow Old Along With Me, long enough to be able to hand it, along with other stuff, to Howard Gottlieb at the Boston University Library. Of course, I had a whole mass of old manuscripts in a box in the attic of my Newton home, and I didn't look through it in detail. So I didn't know that this particular item was included until Charles Waugh told me he had seen it in the vault. Now here it is, exactly as originally written for Startling, except for the correction of typos and minor infelicities.